Okay, we're going to call the meeting to order. At this time, if you would rise and hold a moment of silence and then pledge the flag back behind.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, welcome to our monthly committee meetings. At this time, we were going to modify the agenda a little bit this evening. We're going to pull the management, from the management report, the, trying to find it here, action item D, which is the approval to begin developing a contract for shared leadership between Elanco and Columbia School District. So what we'd like to do is, I know there's some people that may have questions on that, so we'd like to present that first and then open it up for citizens' comments so that we can have a report. But before that, if there's any citizens that wanted to address the board regarding anything other than the Columbia-Elanco contract, was there anyone this evening? Okay. Did you want to come to the front and state your name and where you reside?
Sure. Lisa Garrett, 1607 Main Street, East Earl. It's that time of year when we have teacher appreciation, and I recently went to the Lancaster Native Plant Festival and ran into one of our bluebell teachers there, and it dawned on me that all the things she does in her classroom, and I've never once seen her recognized in our school district newsletter or anything else. So I thought I'd take a moment to recognize teacher Becky Whitson. She's a second grade teacher at Blue Ball. She does amazing things in the classroom with the kids. You know, we talk a lot about teachers that just teach to the test. She is not one of those. And a lot of her focus is on STEM, science, technology, engineering, math. And she's teaching this to second graders, specifically geared towards the science end of it, which I think, personally, I'm a scientist, so I think that's just great. But for those of you who don't know, she's been bringing in a PAA master naturalist every year to talk to the kids about animals that are found in Pennsylvania and their impact, how they live in Pennsylvania and how they interact with the environment and the benefit of various animals. She's also been, she was one of the first educators in the nation certified to teach about Project Mudburst. That's an initiative to track blossoming times for various species. It's a citizen science initiative, so people can get on the internet and report when they see, say, their apple tree blossoming or whatever. And she's been teaching this to her students and showing them how anybody can help and participate in citizen science, and that, you know, it's through the use of such technology. This is going to enable scientists all across the country to gather data from just everyday people. And that's really what it's about, teaching our kids and getting them involved and excited about science. And so when I ran into her at this Native Plant Festival, she had a little display up about Project Budburst, and I asked her, how is it going in the classroom? She raised over 175 fingerling trout in her classroom this year. I don't know if anybody's ever raised fish. That is a feat to behold, because it's not easy to keep cold water native fish alive in a tank, and she did it in a classroom of very helpful second graders who I'm sure have fed them several times. And then they went to Brubaker Park and they released the trout there, and she selected Brubaker Park because she felt that would tie into their later field trips when they go back for their ag day at the park, because aquaculture is also just as important as agriculture, and she was trying to instill that in the kids. So I just wanted to let the school board know we have a bunch of wonderful teachers here, and she's one that maybe has been flying under the radar, and I just want you guys to be aware of her.
Okay, thank you. Comments?
Thanks for sharing that. I've been to Mrs. Whitson's room several times, and the trout, they were amazing, and the amount of effort that those kids put into that was pretty remarkable.
That's
Yeah, I would echo that too. I appreciate your comments. It looks like something MacGyver would make, but it's sort of like the wizard behind the curtain. There's all kinds of things moving, but she's kept them all alive. It's been a real hands-on experience for our kids. And you know how I feel about standardized testing and some of the other curriculum that gets pushed aside. So I do appreciate your comments. Thank you.
Yeah, I brought back memories of we had an FFA display at the farm show 1 year, and we had live trout in it. And unfortunately, we were not as successful keeping them alive. So I hopefully the statute of limitations has run out on
yes.
that. But it's not an easy thing to do, so I can appreciate that. And we have a lot of other teachers that are doing great things, and it would be great if we could, you know, highlight every one, but, you know, there's a lot out there. So thanks a lot for pointing out that. Yes, come on. Come to the microphone, please.
Hi, my name is Josh Leiner, 357 Farmview Drive, East Oldham address. I'm a student here, and I just want to take a minute and just really thank you guys, because this place, I mean, like, not, to be honest, not every day is I want to wake up at like 6 o'clock or whatever after work or homework and all that. But this school has really been a place that has been a good experience for me, just as far as like the community that you guys have helped build. It's very awesome. I know a lot of my friends can say that their schools are very negative, but this place has its moments with that it's overwhelmingly positive, and there's a lot of change happening, and there's a lot of good happening. And no, your leadership is intentional. I see it in the way our system functions. It's really awesome. And I just want to take a minute, and if you guys don't mind, to just pray for y'all. They'll be all right. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing in this school and what you're doing in this community. Thank you for all that these people do and the energy they put in to make our experience here better as students, God. This is a very formative time in our lives where we're preparing for the future. I'm beyond appreciated for all the time that they give to make this easier and to enrich our experience. And I thank you so much for all that you're going to do in this community and the student body and the teachers, Father. I pray your blessing over this building and all the other buildings, all the elementary schools, and whatever happens with this merge with Columbia, Father, that you'd be in that situation, that there would just be peace and that it would all go smoothly if it goes forward in that way. And yeah. Just pray your will be done in the school and that your kingdom will be released and that you just bless all of these amazing people here again. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. And, okay. Here's someone.
I just had to come back and tell you guys, living in Florida, my legal address is 130 Laramie Place, Lake Lake, Florida. My taxpayer address is 660 Orchard, Brecknock Township. So I have a foot in both lands. I just wanted to come back and just really exhort you guys that what you do is so special and so important. And there's many a Monday night when I'm like kicking back at the end of a long day and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I wish I had the ounce of energy and I could be here to do what you're doing. Living with 120,000 other 55-plusers. You know, I miss the wee ones. I miss the teens. So much energy. Got so much potential. And I guess what I just want to encourage you guys is what you do is so important because it makes it possible for the 55-plusers to go sit and have their lovely golf tournaments and such down in Florida. And your generation, I thank you for, you know, stepping up and taking responsibility because soon we'll be old and decrepit and frail. So, you know, I pray for you. I pray for you guys. And I'm not going to repeat your prayer because it was gorgeous. But I just want you to know that you're in my heart, as this school district is in my heart. The school district that's within the villages where I live is, they have a public charter school. It's actually rated fourth in the state of Florida. It's a very high achieving school. But largely because so many of these retirees are invested in the school and they give time. And I know that our school district here in Pennsylvania also, you have a lot of folks that are willing to give time and energy and effort and love to the students. And that is so important. So however you can foster more of that, I think that kind of makes up for a lot of funding losses and so forth. And then P.S., please don't raise my taxes.
Thank you.
For
I was here on time. Dr. Hollister had already got the information, but our boys did meet the town, and which was super, super exciting. And because we had beaten Warwick earlier in the season, head to head, we're considered the fourth seed, and we'll go through some kind of playoff for the first time ever in lacrosse history. I have a picture that I want to share. And I, too, just wanted to say thank you. In a few weeks, I graduate, but not with a degree. My husband would have my head if I was working for another degree. But I graduate to become a parent only of a lacrosse player instead of president of the lacrosse program. My son, Corey Hurst, is a senior. He is preparing to go to Messiah College, where he will play lacrosse and study mechanical engineering. And I am so excited to go to a lacrosse game and not worry if the concession stand has volunteers, who's going to keep the time clock, and if all the refs showed up. I just want to be a parent and be able to enjoy that. But as I reflect on my 4 years of leadership in the lacrosse program, we've come a long way, and I just want to share some of that with you real fast. Our girls program has really seen an increase between last year and this year. Last year we had a varsity-only team. We didn't have enough girls for JV. But we changed some things up with some coaches and really started to rebuild, and we have a varsity and a JV team this year. I wanted to tell you the story of one young lady as the pictures come through. The one picture is of Sage Martin. She is a senior. I asked her with permission to please share her story. She has struggled, as many young women do, with just growing up in a world where all the emphasis is on what the body should look like. And she struggled with an eating disorder, and it got to the point where she was put into inpatient treatment over the winter. And all she wanted was to get right, to get better, to have a healthy mind so that she could play lacrosse. That's all that mattered to her. She was a senior. It was her team. It was the sport that she loved. And we hear those stories over and over again. It's not just lacrosse, but what athletics are able to do to our student athletes and just help them rise to the occasion. And so that is Sage Martin. We're so proud of her, and we know that she'll have daily struggles, but she got to play her senior year. They are actually playing right now in the stadium. It's the last game for the girls. The boys, we had a phenomenal season this year. We have 11 seniors that are graduating, and we won more games in a row this season than we had won in the 5 previous years. You may have seen some articles in the newspaper. My son is just so delighted to be a part of the team. The picture that I gave you with the boys, that is boy-led prayer before every game, that they are a family. They are best friends off the field. They got each other's back on the field. And it is a fascinating experience as a parent to see these boys grow to be young men. And it's exciting to see the boys program total as a youth grow. We have such wonderful youth that are growing up and looking and admiring our high school boys. So I just want to say thank you very much. I realize money doesn't grow on a district tree behind Dr. Hollister's house. If it did, I know that you would do what is best for every child, and I know that funding for lacrosse would be there. But I understand that, and so I just thank you very much. Having the boys move to the high school this year to play in the stadium was phenomenal, phenomenal. My son said, "Mom, we're a sport, like a real sport." And so I just want to thank you and the administration and athletic department for all that they've done over the years and for your commitment behind the scenes that we don't even know. You're obviously very dedicated to this school district. I know when my son was a sophomore, he was a little frustrated. Going 1-11 or 0-11 is not a fun place to be in. And he wanted to go on and be a lacrosse player. And I actually had a conversation with him, and I said, if you want to move, we'll move to Hempfield or Township for lacrosse. Even though I didn't like that idea, but I just felt I needed to offer that as a parent. And he said, absolutely not. He said, I am a Spartan, and I will graduate as a Spartan, and I will do everything I can for Spartan. And I was like, yay, because this is my district, and it's my community. So thank you for all that you do.
Thank you. thanks for all your work you put into that. And do we know who's taking over?
I believe Alan Diamond will be taking over. We're struggling a little bit right now. He is also kind of coaching. Our boys coach will be retiring at the end of this year. He would like to be just a dad.
Okay.
So there's going to be some transition, but we work very closely with the athletic department, and they'll support us with that.
Great.
If I could just make a comment, too. I'm going to publicly thank Diane. She's been at the helm for many years, and with a challenging situation because we don't fully fund the cost. For those of you who don't know, we really don't give them much money at all, although they have continued to grow and win. I'm thrilled for you. I really am. I got the text from the superintendent of Eatown tonight, and so I had a leg up on you. I knew it was coming, but I was really excited. The playoffs, first time. So that does not come easy for the kids or for all the adults who are going to be involved. So thank you very much, Diane. This couldn't have worked out any better. I mean, we've been going back and forth trying to figure out when we could have you come here, and this worked out really well. By the way, the communication from Diane has been excellent all these years, so I hope to see that continue. Thank you for your service to the community and to our kids.
Thank you.
Okay. So then at this point, we'll move into the information on the contract between Columbia, and we'll have time after that for questions or comments on that. So are you prepared?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. Just going to briefly explain why I'm going to present and not Dr. Hollister. Based on the current ethics law of Pennsylvania, I did want to share that Dr. Hollister may not receive any additional compensation because he co-authored the idea presented to the board last month. So we did get an advisory opinion, and they basically came back and said since he shared it, he cannot receive any additional compensation for this partnership. However, in an abundance of precaution, Dr. Hollister will continue to remain silent on the concept, which will allow the board and community to process the partnership as presented. Since I have been involved in the meetings with Columbia to date, on this initiative, it was determined that I would be in the best position to answer any questions that you may have regarding the arrangement. Should the board wish to continue to pursue a joint administrative arrangement with Columbia, I would serve as the lead liaison to the board until which time a contract between the districts is presented. Before I get into the question and answers that I've received to date since last April, or since April last month, I would like to make a couple points before we look at that. I just want to underscore this is not a merger of the two school districts. It is only contracting the services of the superintendent to the Columbia Borough School District. Just like we currently do with our special education programs, we contract our special education program services to other districts, and also our technology services. And we're fortunate to have Nick Olson with us tonight. He's actually the technology specialist that's on site at Columbia. So depending if you have any questions specific to the technology partnership, Nick may be able to jump in and answer some of those questions. Since it's not a merger, both school districts get to keep their identity. We'll be the Garnet-Spot Spartans, we'll be the Columbia Crimson Tide, and all finances and debt remain separate. We're not taking anyone on any of their finances, we're not taking anyone on any of their debt. Again, I do want to say it at this point is just for the superintendent services. At this point, there's really been no formal discussions about sharing any other positions beyond the superintendent. But I will say that if and when they are discussed, the concept will be discussed openly in a public meeting and would also require a contract amendment or revision depending on the nature of the position. And I also will say that it's not as if they'll be directed, they'll be asked. So if they want to share the services of the assistant to the superintendent, you know, we would talk to Nate with Dr. Larkin, see if there's an interest, see what we can do, come up with some plan, and then share it with the board. It should also be noted that there will be an individual which we would hire that would be on site for the daily operations of the school district. Our hopes is to have somebody that's very familiar with the Columbia Borough School District and its operations. with that on-site individual, this will greatly reduce Dr. Hollister's time that he would be needed on-site. He would be more of an oversight capacity. In addition, and this is very important, the agreement will provide safeguards for Ellyingville and Columbia that if any point in time we feel that this arrangement is not working, we will be able to terminate it, or Columbia would also be able to terminate it at any point in time. So there is those safeguards there. Any questions or comments before I get started and really frequently asked questions? Okay. Nick, do you want to bring up the I'll read the question just in case you can't see it. And then after I answer it, then you can basically, I'll pause, and if you have any follow-up questions or comments, you can share them at that time. First question is East Lancaster County School District taking on debt or financial responsibility for the Columbia Borough? As I said earlier, we are not. We will be two distinct entities. Our district will retain our obligations, both in capital debt, operating costs, and teacher contracts, and Columbia will also take on their financial obligations in that respect as well. Question number two, does the partnership have any bearing on the financial rating of the East Lancaster County School District? Absolutely not. We will continue to maintain our excellent financial rating, and since our financials are completely separate from Columbia, they would also retain theirs. So again, two distinct factors. Question number three, does the partnership of Columbia Borough affect Lancaster County taxes? Again, no. We will keep our tax base, our finances all separate, unless you would consider the small but significant, I mean, any small amount of money is significant in regards to the revenue that could be brought in for the contractual services of Dr. Hollister. That would reduce the need for a tax increase or use of fund balance to help offset those our increasing costs. Number four, does this mean that the superintendent now employed for two school districts is employed by two school districts and must answer to two individual boards? No, he will not. He will still be employed by this school board. He will be directed by this school board, but he will be responsible to the Columbia Borough School Board for the services that we have contracted him to do at Columbia. Those services, as I said earlier, will be clearly articulated in the contract that will be drafted, and if the board chooses to go forward, would be drafted and approved at the June board meeting. Bless you. Question number five, should the superintendent at East Lancaster County School District need to be replaced, does Columbia Borough have equal say in the new superintendent? No. The East Lancaster County School District would continue to hire the superintendent as they have in the past. However, the ELANCO board may ask the Columbia board if they would like to provide input if you're looking for a new candidate, but any departure of the current superintendent could automatically trigger a termination of the agreement because we entered into it with Dr. Hollister and his knowledge and experience. We might say, hey, that's enough of the agreement, or in the same respect, Columbia Borough may as well. What are the ramifications for the teaching staff at East Lancaster County School District? At this point, there are essentially no ramifications. We have requested, we have spoken to Senator Allman and some other legislators, Representative Zimmerman, Representative Hinkernell, that in talking with the idea, they were very excited. Dr. Hollister also has talked with Education Secretary Rivera. There's interest there as well, and potentially there could be some Commonwealth of Pennsylvania support financially to help offset the cost of the on-site manager. Could also provide some teachers, again on a voluntary basis, the option to earn additional compensation to serve as maybe teacher coaches in the school district. Again, this would be a 100% volunteer scenario if it even comes to fruition. No teacher would or could be forced to serve at Columbia Borough. Number seven, what are the ramifications for administrations and or supervisors of East Lansing County School District? Again, just like the teachers, there is essentially no ramification other than with the Commonwealth support. Again, we could have a few administrators, myself, Dr. Larkin, Mr. Walsh, Kara, our Director of Special Ed, could potentially have the opportunity to serve as in a shared leadership environment where they could receive some additional compensation, but again, and some additional revenue to the school district. But again, it would be 100% volunteer. Does the superintendent receive additional compensation result as a partnership? As I shared in my opening comments, based on Dr. Hollister bringing this idea to the board and presenting it, co-authoring it with the interim superintendent of Columbia, he cannot receive any additional compensation as it relates to the partnership with Columbia Borough. I think one of the biggest questions going to be is how much time does the superintendent of the district expect to spend at Columbia? Tentatively, at this point, is believed that the superintendent of record, which Dr. Hollister would be on site at Columbia up to possibly half a day per week with an additional 3 hours of telephone and electronic communication, as well as some additional evening meetings outside of his normal obligations here. But again, I will reinforce that on-site individual that we would employ would greatly decrease the time necessary for Dr. Hollister to be on-site during the day. Number 10, how will the partnership affect the students of East Lansing County School District? Essentially, students will be unaffected. However, there may be participation from Columbia Borough students in some of our programs, our LANCO Online, our virtual academy, which can be done via Columbia Borough School District, which they could be housed at their school or at their home in Columbia and can participate in our LANCO Online. We have had some discussions with Columbia Borough. We're able to save them money, plus generate money and make some money on the concept. So we're continuing to look at that. But it's highly unlikely that we would transport students to Columbia or they would transport it here. I mean, like I said, it's highly unlikely. It's not impossible, but it's highly unlikely. One of the reasons we may bring somebody here or they would transport them here is, as you know, we continually each year have the challenges of our different types of class offerings that we have. Potentially, if there's something that a student would like, just say, for example, say our ag program, maybe there's some students from Columbia that want to participate in that program. Maybe then they'll want to transport them here so that they can participate in our outstanding agricultural program. So that's just an example, but you can look at it many, many different ways. What happens if the partnership does not work out for either Elanco or Columbia? As I said, there will be a stop clause will be written in the contract so that either district can remove themselves from the contract with a certain period of time to be determined. I mean, we're thinking probably 6 months, just because they would have to then advertise and select another superintendent. And then the last question, before I get into some of your additional questions and or comments from the public, what are some of the benefits to the East Lansing County School District? Besides the influx of revenue, looking at the economy scale gained with the concept could create quality professional development opportunities. There may be things, activities that they're doing in their district that we would like to emulate here. And with their director of curriculum working with Dr. Larkin, we could really have some increased professional development opportunities for our staff and their staff. And that could be done virtually. That doesn't have to be done on site. Potentially, we could gain access to special funds that are designated for such partnerships. For example, the Pennsylvania Department of Education potentially could give us some nice money to, based on this partnership that we're doing, which would help to offset any costs that we would outlay. In addition, the human resources related to urban education. When we look at grants, there may be opportunities based on their economic status that they might qualify some grants that we normally wouldn't qualify for. With Dr. Hollister being there and an on-site manager, there could be things that they learn from that grant that we could actually then emulate here at the school district. So, but again, that's down the road. It's not right now. Right now is up for discussion as a sharing of the superintendent. So that's all I have as questions that I've received and answers. Hopefully I've answered most of them, but I'll turn it back over to you guys if you have any more questions or anything that I could clarify for you.
Okay. So board members, any questions?
As you know, I've had a bunch of questions about
yes.
this. And I apologize for clogging up everybody's email, but I understand how this is a good thing for Columbia. I just don't really see where a benefit comes in for us. And everybody talks about, you know, the influx of revenue and all that stuff, but what is that? I mean, how did that quantify into numbers? And, you know, it seems like, you know, we're sharing an important person, and we don't really know what we're getting in back for that.
Well, I can say, I mean, ultimately, until the contract's actually written, I can just kind of speak in general terms. But if you, right now, their cost for a superintendent, salary and benefits, is about $175,000. For the on-site individual, salary and benefits may be around $100,000 or so, give or take, depending on negotiations with the school board and what you would like to pay and offer. So if you just look at that, you'd be looking at about $75,000 additional revenue into the school district. Now, there are some other incidental costs and everything else. Even if you said $25,000 for everything else, you could be looking at about $50,000 money that would be returned to the district's funds.
And what would be done with that money? Would it go to fund like lacrosse or swimming or other programs that the school doesn't fund now?
Ultimately, that would be up to the school board. If that's something you wanted to do, you could. It could be, as you'll see in the budget when we're going to propose it, or we're going to look at that later, the proposed budget calls for about using $500,000 from reserves. That could go to reduce that. You know, the $50,000 to $60,000 pays for a teacher. We have new teachers that we're proposing their budget. So really, that would be something that we would discuss. And if that's something that the board wanted to earmark that money for, they could.
I just keep thinking that we should kind of have more of a definitive answer to some of these questions before we go and agree to things. Sorry, but it makes me nervous. You know, agreeing to do something that
sure.
has never been done in the state before and that there's a lot of unknowns in there.
Well, there is one school district that in the state of Pennsylvania that is currently sharing a superintendent. But back to your other question, so we would in essence be the second school district, but back to your question on agreeing to go forward before you know, really the only approval that we're taking is to begin to develop the contract. The official contract itself will not be adopted or approved until the June board meeting. So at that point in time, there'll be a lot of discussions on what should be in the agreement, what shouldn't, those types of things. So again, there is another safety net, if you will, beyond this one. This is just to say, if you recall from the April meeting, when Dr. Hollister presented it, it was really to begin to investigate it, which we did. We still continue to feel that, you know, we looked at it from the ethics perspective and some of the other legalities in respect of being able to do this, which we're able to do. Now we're coming back and saying, okay, we've looked at it, we've researched it, it's still a viable option. Would the board like us to begin to discuss the contract itself, and then that agreement again would be approved in June? Or not approved, depending.
Other board members, comments or questions?
So one of my questions was about what happens if the proposed or anticipated need for Dr. Hollister's time is greater than we imagine at this point in time. What if it's more than the half days or 3 hours? What does that do to our administration and the school faculty as far as splitting that resource? And then along the same lines, if the school district of Columbia is purchasing this service, what authority do they have to request more or to access, so to speak, Dr. Hollister's time outside of those said parameters? Is it going to be something that he's answering phone calls and emails late at night because he's got other work he's done here at the Atlanta School District? So I'm a little concerned in that regard as to, his time, but also the support that our other administration and faculty may need.
Right. There's a lot in there. If I don't respond to someone, let me just tell me what I didn't respond to. One of the things that'd be a part of the agreement is a clause where we would clearly articulate Dr. Hollister's responsibilities. If there'd be a significant change in those responsibilities, there would be a clause in the agreement, very similar to what we have with our technology agreement. If the scope of services changed dramatically, we would basically amend the agreement to incorporate that. Depending on what it is, it more likely will cost them more money. If they're not agreeing to do that, or if we feel that it's way, way too much for Dr. Hollister's time, we would then just exercise the termination clause at any point in time. There's no locked-in period. 2 months into it, if you find out, hey, it's not working, or 6 months, you just say, hey, we're going to exercise the termination clause. We give them 6 months. And then, just also to be sure that there would be language in there that with the individual that we would hire on site as an employee of the school of Elanco, there'd be language in there as well that individual would be then the employee of Columbia or the individual would no longer have employment. So there would be that language in there to protect us on that end as well. Looking, I think you also asked about the impact of Dr. Hollister not being here with the administration staff. I think he, if he was able to speak, I think he would echo what I say in regards to he does have a great team of administrators and supervisors, principals, teachers, staff, a full complement of individuals that are well able to do things his behalf if he's not here. I mean, keep in mind, as a superintendent of the school district, there are times, a lot of times, that he needs to be out of the office. He might be at a conference or he might be at a superintendent meeting. He's only a phone call away or an email. These phones, you can reach him. He's right there. But to be honest with you, in what I see in the discussions we had, I really see no change in what people are accustomed services that they're accustomed to have. I don't see any change in that. If there is, then again, we would come back. You would come to us and say, hey, enough's enough. So I think you won't see much. The staff won't see much of a change. The parents, the students won't see much of a change. As to the late night emails, that's something we'll just have to monitor as we go forward. But I get all your questions.
Question is sort of directed toward Nick, I guess, because we've been several months into the technology part of the agreement, I believe. What have you observed after initially? Has the workload gone down after the initial response to technology? Or what have you seen? Is it what you expected, or more or less, or after you've gotten on the ground running?
excuse me. You mind if I jump in? Just real quick before I get to there, I just want to clarify too that our initial initial agreement with Columbia was for hosting, like a hosting service, where we hosted their servers. We provided network administration and the director of technology. They were very pleased with that service, so much that they wanted to expand the arrangement to a tech specialist. So really, Nick's only been there for what, 2 weeks,
oh, okay.
3 weeks. So he's fairly new. He's got some growing pains going on there. But I just wanted to let you know that how the relationship evolved.
Yeah, that's how I was going to start.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. So I'm literally there, been there for 2 weeks now. And I can tell you it's getting easier as the days go by. We've already done a ton of work for them that people will never see. And it's night and day difference on from my perspective. Just things that people will go and recognize. I can tell you that they're a little bit behind as far as our technology standards go. But the game plans that myself, Lotsi Wooten, my supervisor, and our entire department, ideas and plans we have are going to really blow those people out of the water. I think they're really looking forward to the things we have to do. I think they're comfortable with me already so far. It's a little, a little eerie at times, especially with just the transition and the things I have to learn and the way, they do things differently. But I can tell you that I've already seen a positive impact already. It's mainly been the gentlemen that, well, and ladies, that you guys never see ever. They're just in the technology department, kind of hiding in their cubicles. And I can tell you it's already a night and day difference.
Nick, can I ask you a question? Has it put more stress on the Elanco technology infrastructure than you anticipated?
I can't speak for everyone. For me, not necessarily, because there are 9 of us in the tech department, and we're very fortunate to have that many people. If you look at other districts our size, they're probably, their tech department is probably a third. I like to call our tech department a very well-oiled machine. When Lotsi's not around, I think we can really pick up the slack. You never know he's not there. Him going out there, like I said, everybody just picks up the slack, and I feel like it's tough at first because there are questions that he has to answer, and we have to wait, and things like that. But you can't expect everything to be super easy right away. I don't think anybody's went from 40 hours to 60 hours a week. I think everybody's getting it in during normal times. I haven't been overworked or anything. Been fortunate enough that I can kind of drop everything I was doing here. We've had somebody come in and pick up my slack. And it's almost not like I'm not even young, as far as I know. I've heard good things so far from my replacement. I haven't heard anybody in my department necessarily complain too much about being overworked or anything like that. I think we have the right staff and the right technical ability and the correct infrastructure here in our district to just consume them right up and make it never happen.
And I think talking earlier, you're very appreciative of the opportunity to feel rewarded.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's definitely an amazing learning experience for me. It's basically a promotion. I get to tackle a lot of new things that I wasn't able to do here. So it'll be really interesting.
Just to follow up on that as well, I mean, it's not that we're down a person because Nick left. We're actually going to be hiring an additional person to replace Nick to backfill his time here. So again, that's another part of the contract with Corbin.
Does that mean you won't be handling my virtual needs?
I'll handle whatever you would like.
I'm glad that responsibility didn't drop off.
Yeah, no, and I'm still an Elanco employee. I still have an Elanco email. I still have my cell phone number. I'm not a
ignoring phone calls or emails from here. It's, you know, it's going to take some time to transition over. I know some things are going to get brought up that only I can fix, and maybe the other guys couldn't, things like that. I'm just right down the street, unfortunately, sometimes. But it'll all work out, and yeah, so far so good.
And from Lotsy's perspective, too, I mean, I've talked with him, you know, weekly, and he just asked how things are going, and he's excited the things that they're doing there. A lot of times you don't even know he's not here because he emailed him, he's able to email him back. He's able to, you know, virtual, you know, dial into the, or get into the machine remotely if he needs some assistance or anything. And again, for him as well, I think a lot of his time will be fine as well as they get the processes and get acclimated. So, you know, from our perspective, there was a, we have NIMP there full time, which is great, but it's a little different.
If we're hiring another person to sort of replace him, how is that going to be a cost savings for us? You know, we're making money on him, but is that going to cover the hiring of a new person?
Yes, that's part of the agreement. Nick was able to go there. We're going to hire somebody to backfill. So Nick's costs are with Columbia contract. The individual in Williams freed up from Nick, kind of a seasoned individual. We can hire another individual that's not as seasoned, will learn, and there's at somewhat of a low cost. But that's all incorporated.
As we've been hearing the details of this, you know, it feels like win to me, and the one thing that maybe some are thinking that I have thought is the concern is just that Dr. Hollister would not be in some sense spread too thin, either in actual time or even just in the management responsibility of having that on his plate. I know that Dr. Hollister has been very diligent about advancing his professional development and doing things, and so I would want to note that, in my opinion, this partnership would have an altruistic element to it in that it's benefiting both parties, but we are, in some sense, helping a district that's had some challenges that we have not dealt with. And so I think it would be good to just be aware of that fact, and maybe if Dr. Hollister would take that into consideration, as it certainly will be an advancement for you, if, you know, if we can successfully pull this off, benefit to us financially, but that he would keep in mind in maybe not taking on some other, I mean, over the years you've done things, different things through the years and made those choices. So just in an effort to not spread yourself too thin, considering this as part of that piece of the pie, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I appreciate your comments because, you can have all the means in the world until you actually hit the ground running. You never know how it's going to go, what you're going to come up with. I mean, we've discussed this back and forth. Again, if there's too much, as we see, what can we realign, what can we shift? A lot of the opportunities for financial reward or revenue to the district will be coming potentially down the road if and when we even explore further, because those are activities or ideas that you can't, superintendent, you really can't see. But having the on-site guy, having, you know, Dr. Hollister actually there seeing what's going on will really open up the opportunities if all goes as planned. I know we're really excited with the investment too, with the opportunity. See how it goes.
Just like to make a comment to my colleagues on the board, from a personal perspective of understanding what it's like to contract out to more than one place at a time. And I think if we move to the contract development phase, that it's incumbent on us to really put some hard caps on what our tolerance level is. How many hours a week, how many emails, how many phone calls. I know when I develop contracting contracts for, right now I'm getting paid by about 5 different sources. Those all define how much time I can put down for those various organizations. But there is a caution that it's hard, you can't quantify what somebody thinks and what they're thinking and how much time they're spending thinking about other responsibilities. So it's, you know, we need to think really hard about how to quantify exactly what our tolerance level is.
I think we also need to figure out a way to judge the performance of it. Like, is it working? Is it good? Is it working for us? Is it working for them? You know, I don't know how we can quantify that, but I think that also has to be figured out, too.
Yeah, absolutely. I would anticipate that there'd be periodic updates, what's going on. And I can assure you, and knowing Dr. Hollister, I mean, he's dedicated to the school district, so he's not going to let this district slip or fail. His dedication to the Atlantic East Washington School District is second to none. So,
okay, then before we, was there any other board members, any comments or questions? Before we move into the citizen comments, and I just wanted to kind of say, I think as far as for next week, we should put this as a separate item, not within the consent agenda, so that way we can discuss it again before we take the vote. I just want to say I appreciate the questions, really good questions. We've, over the years, as a board, have charged the administration with finding ways to generate revenue and to look at things differently than just, you know, well, we're just going to raise taxes. I mean, the easiest thing to do is do the same thing you've always done and just keep putting taxes up. And we have, and the administration has done a great job over the years, a lot of things that aren't seen, special education services that we contract, that we bring in students, the online academy, there's just been numerous things which have affected our budget and have helped to keep our taxes in line, that we are still one of the lowest, you know, tax districts in the county. And, you know, I'm committed to that, and I know the board has been. So that's why I fully support this. Are there going to be things that come up that we don't anticipate? There always, of course, there always are. Does everything, you know, that we do work 100% the way that we think it's going to? No. But if you never try anything, it's guaranteed that 100% of the time it won't work. So I'm really looking forward to delving into this further, and we'll discuss it next week. So at this point, citizens, any citizens' comments? Want to come to the microphone or questions, clarifications? Yes.
Good evening, and thank you for everything you guys are doing. Jim Sharp, 1645 Silver Valley. Stephanie and I came here tonight just because we really wanted to learn more about this project. We've heard some things, we've heard some things we wanted to find out were true. The thing that concerns us the most is the speed that we're moving forward here. This is a big, big project, and there's a lot of this being presented as a contract. It's nice and simple and clean cut, but it's a part of a bigger project. This is something that you don't begin without the end in mind. So I'd like to have the board really consider taking a little bit more time than just presenting last month, answer questions, which were very good tonight. I think you did a great job on that. And then voting next week to move forward on this. So I think there's a little bit more time for community input, because this isn't something that's just a contract for our superintendent. This is something that's a potential to have tremendous partnerships, whatever word you want to call it, for both school districts down the line. So I would just encourage you to take a little bit more time to go through and develop this project and to involve the community a little bit more. Thank
you. I have a question, Jim.
Yeah.
Thanks for your comments. So I agree with community input as well. My question is, how do we get more community input, because we don't get the community in here unless, you know, for things we don't want.
Sure. That's a challenge that faces not just our school board, but I think every school board, every township supervisors meeting, every local planning commission that has an issue that comes before the community doesn't get a lot of input until there's a challenge, until there's a problem. The way to get these things out is through a little bit more advertising about specifically, and maybe it's, you know, next month's meeting or next week's meeting where you talk about this, that it has more applications on Facebook. And where this school district is tremendous at technology. We have gardens. We knew tonight that Garden Spots Across Team won before they left the field on there. We were able to find those things out. There's ways to reach out to our community members, to our teachers, to not our teachers, to our parents, to people who can come out and find out what this is. Maybe it's as simple as sending out these action items that they're going out, putting them out through our throughout the entire school district. We have communication tools. I don't know if those have been fully utilized on this particular issue, especially when it has potential long-term implications for those schools.
Lisa Garrett again. I have a lot of concern about hidden costs. We've done a lot of things in our school district to generate revenue. I remember when the MDS classrooms at Blue Ball were presented to the board and they were talked about as revenue generators. But I think there's a lot of hidden costs in things like this that aren't always taken into account because we don't always know they're there or don't always think. Things have scope creep. It's like I have a very old house, and if I have to repair anything, it's always a bigger project than initially anticipated. Because when you tear something apart, you realize, oh, this connects over here and there. And next thing you know, you've got a huge project. And I'm sure everybody who has an older house has the same issues. But one thing, like the MDS classrooms came to Blue Ball, and immediately we had a parking problem that I don't think anybody anticipated. So now we are expanding a parking lot because those two classrooms alone added about 10 to 12 cars to our parking lot between all the 1-to-1 aides, the classroom nurses, and the teachers. And that was like all at one time. And all of a sudden our volunteers had nowhere to park over there and people were parking in the grass. And that was a cost that I don't think anybody had anticipated or thought about the impact to the school. We also, I was on the PTO board at the time. I was the fundraising chair. We also had a request from those classrooms because our playground did not have ADA equipment that could be used by those students, the majority of whom were in wheelchairs. What they requested, their dream piece of equipment they wanted us to purchase was cost equivalent to the entire PTO budget for the year for all the students in the school. It's a cost to other groups that help support the school, like the PTO. Instantly, those classrooms got the teacher allotment. That would have been, what, $200, Dina? But per classroom. So two classrooms. So instantly, we had $200 added to our budget. That was over 10% of what our budget normally, about 10% of what our budget normally ran. Those are costs that aren't factored in. We've outsourced our janitorial services. Some of the hidden costs that we have with that are things like, all of a sudden our school, at least this was our situation in Blue Ball, all of a sudden our school was not that clean. In fact, it was a whole lot dirtier. And I can tell you the following year after we started the contract services, there were more kids out sick that winter than any other year I had kids in the school. It got to the point where most of the teachers over there now take one day out of the week and they swab everything down with Clorox wipes in the winter to prevent the spread of flu. How much are we losing lost time learning for students who are out and staff who are out sick? And I can tell you from using the bathrooms over there, I stopped using the bathrooms over there. They were so disgusting. Things like this have an impact and we don't necessarily see the cost. And I am very concerned about that with this. For instance, are we paying travel time for Elanco employees that are working in Columbia? Are we paying travel and travel time?
You want to answer?
Oh, yeah. We are paying travel time. It's incorporated in the contract. Any type of other costs, as you refer to
with Dr. Hollister, the hidden costs, if you will be clearly articulated when we develop the contract for approval in June. I would like to respond to the MDS classes and the other special education classes. The whole intent initially to bring those classes back was because they were our students. They were our residents in the school district. We brought them back from the IU to save some costs and to provide a better education for our students. We have an outstanding special education program. We've had open seats, so we actually came and brought students in from other districts. We bring about $2.5 million a year from other districts. So when you say we had to do a playground for those students, they were also our students. We would have had that cost anyway.
One of the 11 last year was our student. The rest lived outside the district. One out of 11. So, you can say they're our students, but they wouldn't, the vast majority of them would not be. I'm just saying, I think Dina brought up a very good point about going back and looking at some of these things that we do and reevaluating, did we actually see a cost benefit? The other thing on the janitorial services is our in-house people used to work in the summers without air conditioning in the buildings, and the new contract people won't work that way. So we went over during the summer to work on some race for education things that have to happen in the summer before school starts, and we're shocked that the entire building, the air conditioning was turned on. So I don't know what that costs us, but we didn't used to have that cost, and now we do. So those are the types of things I'm very concerned about. Dr. Hollister, I believe, still has a, for lack of a better word, a company car that we provide and fill with gas, 29 miles one way. How much have we calculated the costs of all of that, the gas and wear and tear, additional wear and tear on the car, the cost that car will be used for evening meetings now, too, and it's a greater distance away than it is to come here. I don't know. But I think, I agree with Jim, I think we're rushing forward. I would like to see something that the school board gets a little more details and a little bit more itemized things. I don't know what you've actually seen, but I think there needs to be a lot of consideration on this. Also, if $50,000 is all what is what we would get ultimately extra, what percent of the total budget is that?
Our budget's about $50,000.
Yeah, so what... It's a drop in the bucket.
There's a lot of drops in the bucket that add up.
Exactly.
I understand that.
As I said earlier, that's one teacher.
I understand that, but if we would go back and reevaluate some of these other cost savings that we've done, I'd like to see the board look at some of those things. Have we actually seen a cost savings enough to make it worthwhile? That's all I'm saying. I think you need to consider all of those because it's, and nothing against what you guys are proposing. It's very easy to make numbers look good. It's a lot harder to go back and honestly reevaluate and see, did we actually achieve what we meant to achieve? Did we get the numbers we thought we would? So I just would hope you would consider that. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd just like to follow up with some comments regarding Sarah's, some of her comments regarding the air conditioning in the buildings, and it's because of the new janitorial individuals that we air condition the buildings. We do not air condition the buildings for those individuals. Our buildings are being used almost all year round with the extended school year programs for the students, which makes it necessary to cool the buildings. And Mr. Walsh, feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. It was not a Janet King issue. I would not draw a line saying because of the new janitorial service, the building's not clean, that's why people are getting sick. I wouldn't say that. It could be many reasons. Actually, and Neil, Mr. Walsh, correct me if I'm wrong as well, but I think we've gotten a lot of positive feedback on our buildings, the cleanliness, the service that we're being provided by Janet King. So, I think you can draw parallels either way, but a lot of the feedback we're hearing is positive.
I'm just telling you, we were told by an administrator about the air conditioning of the buildings,
way the building is designed, if I have the air conditioned two classrooms, I have to bring the whole chiller plan.
Right, but the
I've never turned on air conditioning because of janitorial.
I'm just telling you what I was told.
I don't doubt that you were told that, but that's certainly not the reason why air conditioning.
I want to interject. I think your points are absolutely valid, and I think Dean and Brian's, and I think all of us agree that this isn't something that we need to rush into. This is one step in the process, with the next step being a contract, and it's incumbent upon us, not only as board members to review it, but to have more community input into the contract as well before it's finalized.
Oh, I forgot one question. Which school districts already share? You've mentioned that in Pennsylvania there are two school districts that share a sequence. Which ones are they?
I think there was, you said one.
There is.
We were told that.
I believe it's Lake Lane, but I don't know. If you look up Lake Lane, then it's Center Street.
L-E-H-M-A-N?
L-E-H-M-A-N.
Any other citizens wish to address the board this evening?
I actually had a quick question about what Lisa was talking about.